Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live service of Close Up Television and Radio. It is my honor and pleasure to continue our extraordinary series of amazing conversations with renowned, he's a phenomenal physicist, Dr. Yong-Soo Kim. Joining us from Beltsville, Maryland, Dr. Yong-Soo Kim shares that the United States has been very good to him. He could never accomplish all he has in any other country except America, and he's very, very thankful for that. Poverty, political unrest, cultural norms would have made life in academia impossible. Growing up in Korea in the 1950s gave him a solid work ethic, and the foundation is what Dr. Kim brought to the United States of America in 1954, where he attended Carnegie Institute of Technology, now Carnegie Mellon University. And that's where Dr. Kim first learned about Albert Einstein. He just knew he had to meet Dr. Einstein, who had worked with Princeton University in 1958. He was accepted to Princeton, and his dream came true as best it could. Even though Einstein had passed in 1955, he was able to work with him through research. And after 20 years of continuous research, Dr. Kim discovered Wigner's 1939 mathematical paper being applicable to the internal space-time structure of particles. It's absolutely fascinating. And while a graduate student and postdoc at Princeton, Dr. Kim met Professor Wigner. In 1962, Dr. Kim became an assistant professor of physics at the University of Maryland. And after retiring from teaching duties in 2007, Dr. Kim is a professor of physics emeritus at the University of Maryland, where he has been focusing on continued intense research. He's a prolific author of several books and very important, impactful scientific articles as well. Dr. Kim most desires to expand Dr. Einstein's theories, and with this episode of our ongoing, incredible, unique series with Dr. Kim as our guest, we're going to explore some of that here on the program. First, coming to us from the wonderful state of Maryland, USA, let's welcome renowned physicist Dr. Yong-Soo Kim back to the Close Up Radio Live broadcast. Dr. Kim, thank you very much for joining us here on the program today. It's a continued honor and pleasure.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
You are very, very welcome. You know, your mission is to be remembered as being in the same family or genealogy as Albert Einstein, which I think is extraordinary. Tell us, incorporating this, how a hydrogen atom's orbit appears to us while we are in motion and why this answer is so important to us.
Okay, look at the hydrogen atom, and the electron is just circling around proton, right? And you can draw a circle. But on the other hand, when you move, that circle looks somewhat different, right?
Right.
Okay, and that is Einstein's problem. Einstein worried about point particles, distance between two point particles, but he never worried about the orbit of the hydrogen atom. How the orbit of the hydrogen atom would appear to moving observers. Okay?
Yes. That's really, now, really fascinating.
Then 1927, Niels Bohr came and they said, hydrogen atom, the orbit is not really orbit. It looks like a standing wave, like a wave. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And how the waves appear to moving observers. And that's where I made the contributions.
You know, when you really think about it, how did you arrive at this conclusion?
Well, many people wrote the papers. I'm not the first one to worry about. I think the most prominent person who worried about this is Richard Feynman. You heard about Richard Feynman, right?
Yes.
He was a brilliant American physicist, and he was a Princeton graduate. And he tried to formulate the problem, okay, with his student. But he sort of recouped because he did not understand the mathematics. But I fixed up his problem using Wigner's mathematics. Okay, Eugene Wigner? Eugene Wigner
yeah.
knew mathematics. R.P. Feynman knew physics. But I combined them, okay?
How did you do that? How did you actually do that? That's extraordinary.
Well, I studied hard. I was a student at Princeton, and after I came to Maryland in 1962, Princeton found a genius named Roger Dashian, and he was regarded as a genius of the century. I became very, very unhappy because I thought I was a genius. And I said his paper is, I found out his paper was wrong, and I published it. And I was almost fired from the University of Maryland. Okay, United States is a good country, right? You agree, right?
Right?
It's absolutely. 99% good country, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it was true. Okay, I came from Korea. And Dashian is a genius from California Institute of Technology, Caltech. Okay, you compare, you are American. Okay, you compare him and myself. Who do you think is bright? Right, okay?
Right.
So I was wrong, okay? People said, okay, I said Dashian was wrong, but Americans disagreed. Dashian is a genius, and you are Korean. How can Korean be right? Right?
Yeah.
That was the attitude of Americans in 1965, 66. 65 and 66. I was almost fired from the University of Maryland. But on the other hand, the University of Maryland was very, very nice to look at them for problem carefully. And they decided that I was right. Okay? So
yes.
I was given a permanent position at the University of Maryland. Okay? United States
yeah.
is very nice to me, right?
That's right.
Okay, fine.
Exactly. It's so very, very true. But, you know...
It's all right. I was able to survive only because I'm in the United States. That's not possible in other countries. Okay.
How did your training or upbringing in Korea help with
your ability to come
to America and do well?
Okay, let's put it in this way. In the United States, all high schools are the same, okay? But you have a good college like Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and all the Caltech, right?
Right.
But in Korea, the level is not that high. So they have a Harvard High School or Princeton High School. They have elite high schools, not elite universities. Understandable?
Yes.
So I went to one of the elite high schools. Okay, so
yes.
I was able to do very well at an undergraduate education at the Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh, and I got all A's there. Then I was admitted to Princeton University in 1958. Okay, I studied there. I met Professor Eugene Wigner. Okay?
Yeah. Yep, quite amazing. it's the chain of events. What other academic researches helped you reach your conclusions? Does anybody stand out?
Okay. What happened was this. Eugene Paul Wigner, you heard about it. He got Nobel Prize in 1960.
Oh, yeah.
Three. But mm-hmm. he wrote his most important paper in 1939. It has something to do with the mathematics, which enables us to look at inside the atom. Atom is not a point particle. Hydrogen atom. It's all right?
That's right.
Einstein, 1905, formulated the theory of relativity for the point particles, how the point particles move in the universe. Okay? But Einstein did not know at that time particles have an internal structure. Okay, look at the hydrogen atom. It looks like a point particle, but it has an internal structure, right?
Right.
Einstein did not get into that internal structure, okay?
That's right.
And Einstein, at that time, particle data were not available, and hydrogen atom structure was not available. Hydrogen atom was a point particle. Elephant was a point particle, okay?
Yeah.
And he formulated the theory of relativity for point particles. That was great enough, no question about it, okay? But on the other hand, mm-hmm. Einstein did not get into the inside of particle, okay? So I got into the particle, inside the particle. That's all.
I still find that extraordinary that you even
okay,
took
look.
The time to do it, yeah.
Okay, look.
Yeah.
If the hydrogen atom sits on the table, you have a proton and the electron circling around, right?
Right.
That picture is well known, right?
Right.
Now, however, if you are moving very, very fast as a light, how does that hydrogen atom look?
Oh, yeah. How does it look?
Einstein did not address that question. I addressed
Why do you
question.
Think?
Hmm?
How come you think he didn't? How come you think he didn't address it?
Well,
didn't
at that time, Einstein thought every particle was a point particle. That's all.
Okay, yeah.
An elephant
right.
was a point particle to Einstein, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But Einstein was great enough, okay, to formulate the theory of relativity for point particles.
Exactly.
But Einstein did not look into
the
inside the particle.
You know, for the younger audience that's listening right now, thinking about entering academic research, how would you describe, Doctor, that level of competition, and what would be a piece of advice for those
okay,
who
all
are
right,
considering
all right, okay, yeah, that's right.
doing this work?
Okay. In my case, my promotion was delayed by 20 years because I pushed my own ideas, right?
Right.
In order to get the promotion, you have to get money from funding agencies. In order to do this, you have to do physics, which will please those people, right?
Exactly right.
And I forgot it, and then I pushed my own way, and my promotion was delayed for 20 years or something like this. But nevertheless, younger generations should balance between people are doing and also what his or her idea is. Okay?
Right.
His own idea. Push his own idea and also what to do to do physics for what other people are doing so that you get the recognition in the, okay? Look, I ignored what other people are doing. And the cost of that thing is 20 years of delay in promotion, right?
Exactly.
Can anyone afford that? Can anyone afford? No.
No. Are Einstein's theories not for you, of course, because you live and breathe this, but generally, would you say Einstein's theories are difficult to understand? And is there a way to explain them that is easy for non-academics to grasp at all?
Okay, it's a very easy. What happened was this. You have a three-dimensional space, X, Y, Z, right?
Right.
You can imagine, okay. All right. Let's not worry about Z space, X, Y, okay?
Right.
And X, Y, just a plane, X, Y. You move, how would X, Y would look to you? Okay.
yeah, right.
And Einstein tells what happens there, geometry. That's called Lorentzian geometry, okay?
Right. Yeah.
So you can draw a picture of a hydrogen atom in the two-dimensional space circle. When you move, that circle becomes ellipse. Okay?
Right.
When you move very, very fast, that ellipse becomes so elliptic, it becomes straight line, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that aspect can be explained. I explained that aspect. That's called one is a Kalman and the other one is a Feynman. Feynman said it's a straight line. Kalman said it's a circle. Okay? They're the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. What was Einstein's biggest handicap from your perspective?
Einstein's handicap?
Yeah.
Well, Einstein died in 1955, right?
Right.
And Einstein was very active, I think, until 1940 or 1930. Okay? At that time, particle accelerator did not exist. So physics is an experimental science. He could not see what happened to the particles moving fast. And then because of that, he went to general relativity. Okay, you heard about general relativity, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
In general relativity, many funny things happen in the universe. And the universe, there are things moving very, very fast at the universe, not on this earth, right?
Right. You've had a competitive academic life, not always easy, and we've talked about that. But you're very happy and proud to have created your very own Einstein Wigner Kim genealogy. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it has something to do with my Korean culture. Okay. In America, usually people worry about how much money you have, how rich, okay?
Right.
When people judge how rich you have. But in Korea, has a long history. They did not have capitalism. They worry about which family you came from, right? Genealogy is more important than money in Korea. That's all. So I want to establish. When I was a student at Princeton, my thesis advisor was not Sam Treman. He was very nice to me, but he did not have enough brain to understand Wigner's paper. After Princeton made a big mistake, it's called Dejan Fraud fiasco, 1965. I decided to study Wigner's paper more carefully, and I found some result, and Wigner was very, very happy, and I wrote 7 papers with him. So I became Wigner's student. Okay?
Exactly, yeah.
And as I said before, in the Oriental culture, genealogy is very important. Who was my advisor was very important, right?
Social standing as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So Wigner has a name. I'm known as a Wigner student because I wrote 7 papers with him, right?
Exactly. You know, I'd love to get your take on this. They say that in America, a lot of the students, especially before they get to college, but prior to that, the training, that they're falling behind other countries, especially the Asian countries who really focus on education.
Okay, all right.
You find that to be the case?
Okay. Okay. In the United States, everybody goes to high school, right?
Yes.
Everybody goes to high school. But in the Oriental country like Japan and Korea, not everybody goes to high school. They have to pass a very rigid entrance examination, okay?
Right.
That's the reason why high school graduates in Korea or Japan are some are smarter than high school graduates in the United States. That's all. Understandable?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Not because their skins are yellow. Has nothing to do with the color of skin, okay?
Exactly. Right. Why do you love still doing the research? You've been doing this a long time. You could easily just be retired and not still in it. But what is it about it that drives you and fascinates you to still continue to do the extraordinary research that you do?
Because it's interesting. I'm built like that.
Yeah. It's something that continues to drive you.
Yeah, I always have questions. Why? And then I want to answer the questions, okay? And I want to construct the stories of why, okay?
Right. So once you found this sort of hole in Einstein's theory, and of course we talked about people, you know, shunning you and rejecting and not, you know, they're denying it. But then once they said, okay, we get it now, we understand, wow, it makes sense, what happened from there with the information? How has your discovery benefited us? How has it been used for the greater good?
Okay, people still do not accept my theory. Okay,
they still don't, huh?
Look, Einstein is great, okay?
Yeah.
If I tell that I did what Einstein could not do, do you want to accept that? No, right?
Well, having met you and interviewed you, I would accept it.
But the people do not accept it. It's understandable. It's a real world.
Yeah.
And also, in the United States, if they can make money by accepting my thing, my theory, they would do it. But I cannot offer any money to them, right?
Correct, yeah.
It's a capitalistic society. All right, fine. But on the other hand, I am able to construct the web pages. I can talk to the people of the world, entire world, by constructing web page. That's a God-given privilege. That was not possible 50 years ago, right?
Exactly right.
Okay. So I guess you approached me because you looked at my webpage, right? Is that true?
I think we just really were fascinated by all of this. And then through their, and you know, like you found your discoveries and your research, the folks at Close Up Television Radio, the same thing. And the fact that we've discovered you in a way none of us and our listeners too, and well, all of it, I don't think anybody would have known. You've done this work and you found this information, which I think is really something quite special, Dr. Kim.
Yeah, it's all right. I enjoy constructing web pages. I talk to the world, okay?
Right. Exactly. With this discovery, with this understanding, with your education and prominence here in the United States, the homeland, did they ever acknowledge it? Have they ever said they're proud of you? Any of the
homeland,
things you've
done? Oh, okay, homeland, that means Koreans. Koreans?
Yes.
Oh, Koreans, yes. Okay, they hate me.
They really do, huh?
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm. It's understandable, okay. And I never go to Korea because Koreans don't like me.
Because you went to America?
Hmm?
Because you left and went to America?
No. Koreans do not like anyone better than themselves, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's understandable. So they never invite me. I never go there. I used to go to Europe very often, but not these days, because these days it's a pandemic or something like this, and I am old.
Yeah.
But I used to go to Europe, and I used to talk to Europeans very often.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's really an extraordinary undertaking that you've made, you know, sort of your life's mission. And I really encourage folks to go to ysfine, that's FINE.com. Yeah, to learn about all of this. Our very special guest, Dr. Young-Soo Kim, Professor Emeritus.
Let's put it this way.
University of
United
Maryland.
States,
yeah.
United States have been very nice to me. Let's put it this way.
And it's a gracious thing to say. Absolutely,
yeah,
doctor.
Absolutely. United States has been very nice to me, yes. Okay.
As always, it was a pleasure speaking with you, and the time goes by so incredibly fast, doctor. Thanks for all of your impact, your contributions, your willingness to share extraordinary story. I know you're very humble about
okay,
it.
Okay, also another one
is
this. There was a
quite
technology.
Amazing. Yeah.
When I was in Korea, my father was a very high-ranking Navy officer, and he provided me with a shortwave radio. I was listening to the world. While listening to the world, I developed the appetite to talk to the world, okay?
Yeah.
Listening is not enough. You want to talk to them, right?
Right, exactly.
And at that time, the only way to talk to the world was to build a very strong broadcasting station and very strong transmitter, right?
That's right.
But these days, I can talk to the world by making web pages, right?
That's exactly right.
I'm talking to the world by making attractive web pages. That's all. I enjoy making web pages. Perhaps that's the reason why you're calling me, right?
We're fascinated by this, and it's amazing, and I hope we get a chance to chat more down the line, Doctor. Again, our very special guest, renowned physicist Dr. Young-Soo Kim. The website is www.ysfine.com. Thank you, Dr. Kim, for your time and your attention and your extraordinary research and impact that you continue to make. Our time goes by so fast, and I hope we explore more together. It's always fascinating to me, and I'm sure our listeners. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you being with us all around the world here on Close Up Radio Live. For everybody here, thanks for being with us. Have a terrific day. And come join us again next time on Close Up Radio Live. And bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.